SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is hour number two. It is the fourth day in the month of March. Live right here on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. Mm-hmm. I am Ben Stevens. Conference tournament week has already begun in college basketball. It started on Sunday. It continues this week, largely at the mid-major level, and of course next week at the high major level. So conference tournament week is really weeks, but regardless, it is the madness in the month of March. And Donnie, one of the beautiful things about conference tournament week at the mid-major level is there might just be one bid in each of these leagues. And that only bid, regardless of what you did, in 30-plus games in the regular season, could come down to only one week in just a few contests. And that is in a conference tournament, trying to grab that league's automatic berth to the NCAA tournament. It is the beautiful thing about this month of March. And with three more conference tourneys starting on this Tuesday, we break it all down to start off hour number two.
Absolutely. And the good part about this is it's almost like March Madness is really for the Power Five schools and high mid majors at this point. March Madness for the smaller schools like the Sun Belt Conference. This is sure. what they play for all year, for seeding in that tournament with a legitimate chance that they can play. And if they win all of their games, advance into March Madness as a celebration of their season. And they probably get bounced out pretty quickly in round number one. But that's okay. That's what they play for. That's why you see all of the emotion because of how much it means. And you're going to see some really good basketball teams here at that mid major level, even get to their conference championships and not make it in with high 25, 26, 27 wins. They know the importance of these tournaments and leave no doubt, because the one thing we know, Ben, if you win your conference tournament, they can't leave you out unless you're a team like, I think, like Queens, where if they win their conference, like, hey, bud, can't go this year for some odd rule, which I always love.
It is, to me, it's my least favorite rule, either in FBS college football or here at the D1 level. It is the transition rule. It is absolutely archaic and asinine. In college football, it's a two-year transition period, because how could you ever prove that your program is sustainable at a different level if you perform well in the biggest games of the year? It is a five-year transition period in D1 men's college basketball. It blows my mind. In Queens University, who is marching on after knocking off Dunk City last night to a semifinal appearance in the A-Sun tourney. If they were to... I really can't get into it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get really mad.
Yeah.
So I can't. And you heard my voice at the start of the show. I need to preserve everything that I have here in the month of March. But just to say, if Queens University were to win the A-Sun tournament, they could not represent the conference in terms of an NCAA tournament appearance. What?
Where is it, by the way? Is it Charlotte? Is it Cincinnati? Like, it sounds like a Queen City or something like that. Where is Queens located?
Yeah.
Aha, I nailed it.
Woo-hoo. You did.
All right.
Can't get much past you, DRS. Queen City in the Queen, or Queens University in the Queen City. That is Charlotte, North Carolina. But we start in the Sun Belt. That begins today. If you have been following college basketball at all in recent years, you have probably seen the WCC bracket. That would be the West Coast Conference, the conference that in large part Gonzaga has dominated, but St. Mary's has won the conference in terms of the regular season crown each of the last 2 years. And Donnie, the way the bracket works is not an even distribution, where everybody starts on the same day, or even in many high major levels, double buys, opening round buy. The way the bracket looks is, follow me here as I try to display it with my hands. It's one side that goes, and another side that goes, that reads to the end. And if you are the top two seeds, like here in the Sun Belt, that would be South Alabama and James Madison. You only have to win two games. Yeah. You don't play until the semifinal round, where you would have to win your semi and then a championship game. Bada bing, bada boom, you are going dancing in the biggest of all the tournaments. That is the chaos of the Sun Belt tournament that begins today. That if you are in action today, like the 13 seed Coastal Carolina, you've got to win seven games in 7 days to reach the NCAA tourney. It is designed, of course, to get the league's best team its best shot of maybe making some noise in the big dance and incentivizing regular season performance to reach the NCAA tournament. But it is a hilarious bracket to look at.
It is. And also, you don't even get home court advantage in the early rounds. It's all at one place here. So that does save you from the travel. But it's almost like if you can equate it to like a marathon runner. Woo, just finished my first marathon. Good. You got another one in 5 minutes here. Get after. Like, yeah. Wait a second. I ran five straight marathons and then I got to take on the fastest marathon runner when he hasn't run a marathon in 2 weeks at this point. As it feels like, that's what you're getting. And if you look at the Sun Belt, which Ben, you did send out the tweet, it looks like the, you know, they said, you know what? What's a great bracket for this conference? And they looked up and like, look at those geese flying. Boy, that looks perfect right there. Let's make that the absolute bracket for the Sun Belt Conference, which is what they did. But I do like the fact that you get rewarded, Ben, for a very good regular season. That's sure. The way it's supposed to be. But, I mean, at least some conferences don't allow everybody to go. There's two teams with 3-15 records, Coastal Carolina and Louisiana Monroe. Like, if they want to win this thing, maybe the most epic tournament run in history, but there is something about momentum. And also, if you are South Alabama or James Madison, you got teams playing multiple games at the same site, yeah. Used to coming to the gym, working out, shooting, and are comfortable there. I want to see if that burns them. But if it was being honest with myself, yes, you would rather be South Alabama and James Madison, because if you don't play, you can't lose at that point. So hold on for the longest that you can, and you're getting rewarded. So I don't mind the actual bracket for the Sun Belt here.
And the Sun Belt is very intriguing, DRS, because about six teams claim a regular season championship. Yep. At least four, because we had four teams, Arkansas State, Troy, South Alabama, and JMU, all finish at 13-5. Arkansas State has the best overall record in the conference, including a non-con win against Memphis that is only going to bolster the resume, 22-9 for the Red Wolves. And Arkansas State, as we'll show the odds here, has the shortest number to win the Sun Belt tournament. And yet, Arkansas State, DRS, is the 3 seed. Sure, they get a bye until the quarterfinal, but they have to win one more game, playing one more game guaranteed than either the Jags of South Alabama or the Dukes of James Madison. That is crazy to say, and yet they are booked as a favorite. They would have to play a game, turn around in a 24-hour span, and then play South Alabama. I believe it would be South Alabama in that spot. That is the craziness of how the Sun Belt tournament works, where the team that maybe has the best overall record in the conference and finished in a four-way tie, technically just based on mark at 13-5, is the favorite, but they are not the 1 seed, and it's not like those top four teams all just earned a double bye like we are going to see in the Big Ten tournament next week.
No, you're right. And also, just look at the seeding. I have South Alabama 1, James Madison 2, Troy 3, and Arkansas State 4.
Excuse me, bracket four here. Yeah.
But same thing, same setup. You have to win the same thing as the number 3, which is why I look at this when you have the, you know, 13-5, 13-5, 13-5, 13-5. Sometimes things don't break against you. But as I just pointed out, there is something to be said about Arkansas State and Troy, Ben, getting a team that they're probably better than, playing on that court here and winning a basketball game. And I call it the slingshot. Your vibes are good. You probably shot well. You want to get right back out on the court, where South Alabama and James Madison haven't played yet on that court just yet, and maybe not as fresh as they should be, because this tournament's been rolling on for days and days and days, and you're not getting that live look that you would, let's just say, in regular conference play throughout the season. So I take a look at Troy at a 4-1 price, if you're not going for the ultimate 1 or 2 seeds here, shooting 50% of their total attempts from 3-point range, which means if they get hot, they can beat anybody, and also very good at getting to the free throw line. And also, once again, not the 1 or 2 seeds, looking for that slingshot performance where they can beat the winner of game number 8, get the vibes good, and then maybe catch James Madison on an off night and find yourself in the final with a 4-1 ticket here with a great hedging opportunity.
And the Red Wolves, that being Arkansas State, despite being the 4 seed, the most efficient offense in conference play within the Sun Belt this year. However, I will say, 0-3 in 3 games, 2 against South Alabama and 1 against James Madison in conference action, not covering in any of those. A little bit more on the Sun Belt, and then we'll move on to, I believe, the Horizon up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just one final point about the Sun Belt tournament odds. Arkansas State is the 4 seed and yet booked as the favorite, as we spelled everything out. A 2-to-1 price on the Red Wolves. DRS, they are 13-5, both straight up in Sun Belt conference tournament action or conference action this year, and 13-5 against the spread. All 13 wins, a cover for Arkansas State. All 5 losses, a non-cover, including 3 of those 5 conference losses against the top 2 seeds in the tournament, South Alabama and James Madison. Troy there at a 4-to-1 number, and then you see that shelf in the very, very large drop-off, having a 5X that price for Troy to get to anybody else around the conference, because even Troy as the 3 seed, they get to buy all the way to the quarterfinal in the run that you have to go on. But Donnie, you made this point, right? If you are Arkansas State, you will get a game under your legs in the conference tournament before you match up, if you do get a win, against that top overall seed in South Alabama. March is about madness. March is about momentum, especially in conference tournaments.
No, it really is. And you take a look at kids, back-to-back games they can play. Maybe even on a third game, okay, but some of those scenarios where they get 4 and 5 games in, those legs will eventually give out. But understand this too, same building, which is key. So if you are going to look to make that run, you're not going from this state to the next state to another state to then a convention center somewhere. It just makes it a little bit easier, and maybe you can just get hot at the right time to get used to playing on that same court, and maybe that'll affect it on the way out. So we'll see how it plays out. A fun tournament nonetheless, but it would be interesting to see if a team that's so bad could win 7 straight basketball games against better opponents every single, like you're playing almost like an old Nintendo game back in the day, like you got to face the bully at the end of each stage 7 times in a row. Goodness gracious.
I mean, it is a gauntlet to say the least. All right, let's get to the Horizon League tournament that also starts on this Tuesday. 11 teams in the Horizon League. Everybody qualifies for the conference tourney. Not quite the crazy gauntlet that the Sun Belt is. A little bit more usual and based on what we have seen. Robert Morris, the regular season champion in the Horizon, the number 1 overall seed, a plus 260 price for the Colonels. As you see Robert Morris there, or the Colonials, I should say. So you have Robert Morris at a plus 260 number. Milwaukee not all that far behind at plus 280. And of course, DRS, many people will remember the Oakland Golden Grizzlies in the Jack Golkey game under Greg Campy, who has been Oakland's head coach for more than 4 decades, knocking off Kentucky, the champions of the Horizon League a year ago. A 17-1 price on Oakland this time around. They're the 6th seed in the tournament.
Yeah, and it's going to be, for me, I'm taking a look more at the top end of the spectrum. That's Robert Morris. Understand this, too, because we just told you every single game in the Sun Belt is played at a convention center, neutral site for everybody. Not the case in the Horizon League. First 2 games will be played on the home court before they move to Indianapolis. Then you have the, you know, sort of convention center, and everybody has the same advantages, and just bring your fan base there. But for me, it's simple. Robert Morris down the stretch, Ben, 13 of 14 wins, the only loss in that stretch by 2 points here. I'm just taking a look at the hot team in this conference that also, overall, defensive efficiency is the best in conference play. That's the way I'm leaning. So plus 260 in this one, looking at the 4-to-1 price as a chance with Troy in the previous. I'm not biting too far of the apple down. I'm just going to take the hottest team here, picking up some easy wins and holding true to their metrics by playing great defense.
Yeah, absolutely so. And DRS, Robert Morris is the best defense in Horizon League play throughout the year. The best offense is Cleveland State, who can get hot and get on a run as well. You see these numbers, much more compact, of course, than we saw really in the Sun Belt. We had those 4 teams at the top, but this would be more of your standard, let's make a run and get hot at the right time. Because as you look around the Horizon League and what this conference tournament bracket is going to be, Donnie, those 3 teams at the top, Robert Morris, Milwaukee, and Cleveland State, they get a bye all the way to the quarterfinal round. And then they would only need a couple of victories to claim that automatic berth to the NCAA tournament. That is the beauty of what we see here in conference tournament actions. A couple of wins, and you get that nod to the big dance. It starts this week. And to Donnie's point, one of the beautiful things about conference tournaments, as well as we have seen in the A-Sun, who is about to make a move to a neutral site for their conference tournament a season from now, those home floor advantages and how rocking the atmospheres are, that also goes in the handicap as well.
Yeah, it does. Of course it does, because most teams in college basketball, you look at the home and away splits here, they're crazy for the home team. Why? Because the travel arrangements aren't a four-star, five-star charter jet with an unbelievable place to stay. You're rested and ready and everything at your fingertips. Some of these conferences, you're taking long bus rides here on weekend sweeps and say, boy, I'm just happy to actually make it to my destination, let alone play tremendous basketball. So it does play into it. And if you're the higher seed, you're going to get some home court advantage to start out. That's the way it's supposed to be. Help your better teams get into the conference tournament, and a lot of these conferences understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to get those people into the conference tournament, have them be in the best position to make that run to the big dance, and then the entire conference benefits from a fiscal perspective, and if you pull off something like the Golden Grizz did a year ago under Greg Campy, led by Jack Golke, then you have an opportunity to become a March legend forever. Well, also, by the way, Alvaro Fulgueras, he is the Horizon League Player of the Year. He plays for Robert Morris, who is the number one overall seed. 15 wins in conference play this season. DRS, let's move our attention from the Horizon League to the Patriot League, where the Patriot League has recently been dominated by Colgate, +370 for Colgate. But they are not the number one seed this time around. That would be the favorites you see there. Bucknell +110. Colgate, not even a top two seed. American University at +290, two seed in the Patriot League tournament.
Yeah, here's the key to this one, Ben, right? All of the games are played at the higher seeds home gymnasium. So you take a look at that Bucknell price and say, oh, that's cheap at +110. Why is it so expensive? Well, if you look at Bucknell, unbeaten in conference play at home this season. So you just sort of play out the metrics. Good basketball team at home the whole time. Haven't lost all season. Yeah, there's a good chance they win the Patriot League this year.
We will talk about the Patriot League tournament, what we have moving ahead, and of course recap a little bit of action in the ASUN tourney. Our first conference tournament to get underway, already reaching the semifinal round. Plenty more on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Patriot League Tournament Talk live right here on the early line on Sports Grid with a look at what is already happening in the ASUN tournament as well. DRS, as we said right before the break, when you've thought about the Patriot League tourney in the last few years, four consecutive years, Matt Langle and the Colgate Red Raiders have won this tournament and often been looked at as a team that could make an opening round splash and upset a heavy hitter in the NCAA tournament. In the last five tournaments we have seen, Colgate has represented the Patriot League. They did not win the conference tourney back in 2020, but of course, as we know, no big dance that year. So five consecutive trips to the NCAA men's tournament for Matt Langle and Colgate. This year, though, not the favorite, not the one seed, not the two seed, a 10-8 record in Patriot League action, and the three seed with that third best price. Still shooting the three well, still taking a lot of threes. That is the staple of Colgate basketball. It just hasn't been nearly as crisp this year. And as you said, Bucknell perfect, undefeated in Patriot League play, very deserving of that number one overall seed and that short +110 price.
Yeah, and again, everybody's going to be home, so the higher seed, so keep winning, keep staying at home at this point. And Bucknell, 13-5 in conference play, got the tip over American, who is also 13-5. But how about this? You want a little trivia here for Colgate?
Please.
You want to give you a little trivia for them? All right. Did you know, in the mid-1990s, your boy, Donnie Wrightside, played a summer of travel baseball with Matt Langle? How about that? So maybe can I reach out, maybe get some insider information? What'd he say? Could do it.
You don't say, DRS.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's
pretty impressive.
Good second baseman he was.
By the way.
Yeah.
Ooh,
good
Matt
second
Langle.
Baseman.
And a good basketball coach. And as Donnie clarified right there, Bucknell undefeated at home in Patriot League action, 13-5 overall. Yep. They are very good at Bucknell in terms of what they can do defensively. And of course, we'll see if your guy, Matt Langle, can make another Red Raiders run for Colgate here in what would be now the Patriot League tournament. Robert Morris, by the way, back to the Horizon League, one of the best covered teams in the country. Three teams at the D1 level around men's college basketball covered in at least 80% of their conference games this year. UC San Diego under Eric Olin, who is absolutely incredible out in the Big West, 16-2 against the spread. Florida A&M in the SWAC, 14-3 ATS. And Robert Morris, the Colonials, 16-4 against the number in Horizon League play this year. And one of the beautiful things, DRS, not just betting the conference odds overall for what that tournament action is going to look like, make sure you know those trends in game-by-game odds so you can profit as many times as possible with some of the best teams at the mid-major level this year in college basketball.
Exactly. And what I've been telling you all season long, like versus like competition. This is the final week versus like competition where, you know, these teams stand up in conference play, the statistics against individual teams. Because you look at the Patriot League, you know, the offensive rating, if you're looking at KenPom, everybody looks like they're really bad. Yeah, but you know what? They all play each other. So you don't have to worry about how they match up against Clemson, Duke, or Texas A&M. You know exactly how they match up against each other. And also pointing out, understanding the flow of these conference tournaments. We already went over multiple things where, hey, look, we're going to really prop up the 1, 2, 3, and number 4 seeds. And if you want an underdog, you're going to have to win 5 games in a row just to get there. And understanding leagues like the Patriot League, every single game is on the higher seed's home court. Those things matter when you're handicapping all the way through, and use them to your advantage.
Bucknell won 9 of their last 10, 6 straight in Patriot League action. They covered in those 6 wins in a row and in their last 9. Bucknell, by the way, did play 4 high major programs this year. Maryland, Gonzaga, Kentucky, and Syracuse. 3-0-1 against the spread, booked as a dog in every game. They were only a 12-point dog at close against my alma mater. That would be the Orange. They did not end up covering that number, but a push, losing that game by 12. Oh, you might also think Syracuse plays Colgate all the time, right? In Central New York? Yeah, they did. Second game of the year, Colgate gave Syracuse yet another scare. Syracuse only winning by 2. The Red Raiders covering as a 12-point dog. Fun fact about Colgate for Donnie, he played travel baseball with Matt Langle, their head coach. Fun fact for me, on a golf trip this year up in Central New York with a couple of my college buddies, he played Colgate's college course. Great time. Beautiful area.
How about that?
Great times.
Who won?
As always. DRS, who did end up winning the champ? Not me. I played okay, though, from what I remember. Played okay from what I remember. Ace Sun, by the way, our semifinal matchups, the two top teams yesterday. Lipscomb, big victory over Central Arkansas. Yep. North Alabama blowing out Austin Peay in Florence, winning by 26 points. The coach, J.Y., James Young, joins us up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is the month of March. It is a glorious time in the sports calendar, certainly in basketball. And that is why our coach, James Young, J.Y., is here for the entirety of the final second half hour of this second hour to stop in college hoops, recap what we saw last night, go around the association, set the stage for a big Tuesday night, and of course a stretch run of this regular season in the NBA. J.Y., we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for being here on TEL.
We have hit March, Big Ten, Ben. Big Ten game last night, big win by UCLA. But what a time! It's March. It's all ball.
Yeah, a ref swallowing a whistle when Nick Martinelli was absolutely hacked as Northwestern tried to make their comeback in the final 3 minutes. UCLA does get a road win in Evanston by 4. Let's get to the ACC, J.Y. Duke, only 1 conference loss, only 3 L's the entirety of this year. 27-3, the record for John Shire and the Blue Devils now in year number 3 for Shire at the helm in Durham. Led by a huge performance in maybe, and probably not maybe, more than likely, his final game inside Cameron Indoor. That would be Cooper Flagg. 4th consecutive win for Duke by at least 33 points as they absolutely blow out Wake Forest 93-60. Does it burst the bubble for the Demon Deacons? Perhaps. Duke, a 20.5-point home favorite. They cover that number. Jay Watt, there are so many things that we can highlight when it comes to the way the Blue Devils have played basketball, especially in ACC play. What stands out to you most about how dominant Duke has been in conference action?
They crush you both sides of the ball. And I think that's an important thing to understand. A team, Ben, that's one of the slower teams in the country. Folks, Duke had 2 points in the first 6 minutes of the game. They scored 91 in the last 34. Like, it was amazing how once they settled in, they got everyone involved. And I thought that was what I saw last night. We'll get to Cooper Flagg and his stats last night because they were tremendous. But Knoepel gets you 17. Proctor gets you, 12. Gillis, a transfer from Purdue, gives you 11 off the bench. Evans gets you 8. Ben, they overwhelm you. And they overwhelm you because Cooper not only can score, but he can get other people involved and create shot opportunities. You can saw every time that he drove the ball to the basket. Coach Forbes, they just loaded up on him. And this guy just continues to just make smart decision out of smart decision. And if you're awake, you can't get outshot 47-33. You can't get outmade at the three-point line, by 15 or so points. And you can't give up more shots. You got to control the tempo. They did a good job in the first 6 minutes, but Ben, unfortunately, you got to play a full 40 with this Duke team right now.
Let's keep it with Duke right here, Coach, because it's very interesting. It's a high major conference in the ACC. Is it the best talent that we've seen top to bottom? No, it's not. But still, quality opponents on a night-to-night basis. You see that loss on the road to Clemson, 77-71, and then it seems like they hit the afterburners. Can we trust this stretch of games with the Duke Blue Devils heading into the ACC tournament and March Madness? Or is it something that is like sooner than later, they're not going to have their A game every single night, which it seems like, Coach, they always do.
They have staying power because they defend. That's the key thing. They defend, and they defend at a ridiculously high level, Donnie. And when your best player, the number one pick in this year's draft, is your best defender, it's easy to get everyone else to buy in because Cooper's bringing it on the defensive side of the floor. I mean, listen, if they were to give out defensive player of the year in college basketball, it's Cooper Flagg. It's Cooper Flagg for what he does, raising everyone's game. And you have to, we talked about John Shire quickly. The guy's got to get credit, right? Because he's taking young kids, transfers, holdovers, and they're all buying in. And that's the key. When you develop these rosters, guys, it's roster construction becomes important. You can't just go like Cal and just go get transfers and go get all guys that are high major kids. You got to get guys that fit that and want to play together. And John Shire, along with Jai Lucas, who probably will be the next coach at Miami, have mastered that at Duke.
Yeah, they absolutely have. And often you think about a freshman construction for a team making a deep run in March. In the one-and-done era, it hasn't been overly successful in claiming a national championship in large part. This Duke team, not just the outstanding freshmen, but some veterans there as well. Tyrese Proctor, Mason Gillis, the Purdue transfer, who helped the Boilermakers get to the national championship game a season ago. Malik Brown, the Syracuse transfer. Sion James, so many players for this team that can contribute in a variety of ways. But of course, a focal point here in the month of March, he is already a household name. If Duke makes a deep run, will become even a bigger superstar. That would be Cooper Flagg. 28 points, 8 boards, 7 dimes, 3 made threes, 3 blocks, 2 steals last night. Almost out of breath for just reading Flagg's stat line. And JY, the outstanding freshman, has now become the front runner and the odds-on favorite once again to win the Wooden Award. They have gone back and forth, these two guys, Cooper Flagg and Auburn's Jahni Broome, the last 2 weeks. When this season is done and all is said and done, who wins the Wooden Award in men's college basketball?
It's good. It should be Cooper Flagg. I mean, if you think about it, guys, he's had 7 straight games where he shot at least 50% from the floor. 6 straight games where he gets you at least 10-plus rebounds plus assists, and he's a top defender. Leads the team in scoring, leads in assists, leads in rebounds, leads in blocks, leads in steals, and shoots at 83% from the foul line. That's nothing to take away from Jahni Broome, who is obviously first in all three categories of points, rebounds, and assists. To me, it is the way Cooper has completely turned it on. I mean, that performance last night was so sensational because he gave you all that and the damn bag of chips by his performance. And he dominates on both sides of the ball. And when I say they run their offense through them, and I want people to understand this. This kid, with the ball in his hands as much as he is, as a 6'8 forward, folks, do you know that he's got a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio? Like, I don't think that makes sense to a lot of people, that a guy that's a small forward who has to initiate the action with the amount of pressure he has on him has the ability to give you 2-to-1 assist turnover ratio. Yep. He basically is getting you as many steals as turnovers. That's wild, Ben. He's been fantastic. He's been the best player in the country overall. Nothing to take away Jahni Broome, but Cooper has been the goods.
Two great basketball players, 1 and 2 in the country, probably in the Wooden Award, 1 and 2 in the country with their respective teams, Coach. But how about that number 3 team in the country, 18-1 in the Big 12, clamping down on defense with the Kansas Jayhawks last night in a 65-59 victory. Kansas shot better from the field, shot better from the three-point line, and from the free throw line, and still lost that game. It shows the many ways the Houston Cougars, Coach, can win basketball games, and that was on display last night.
The Warden, a.k.a. Kelvin Sampson, had his prison guards all ready to go. And you made good points, Donnie, but there's levels to this, right? So when you think about this, how about the fact that Houston got 26 more shots up on the basket than obviously Kansas? You can look at the fact of Houston's guard play, Uzan, Cryer, Wilson, Sharp, 54 points. Smart play, by the way, by Kelvin Sampson, bringing him off the bench, Emmanuel Sharpe. He's got to get going from the ankle injury. But here's the key. You can't go into Houston and commit 20 turnovers, 7 by Hunter Dickinson, when they defend like that. If the guards can make enough shots, Donnie, this team is legitimately the third best team in the country and can make a serious run at the national championship.
When you look at the KenPom ratings for these three schools at the top of the board and the top of the AP poll, Duke is the highest rated, 39.4. The net rating, 37.67 for Auburn, 35.14 for Houston. Some of the best teams we have ever seen in the last 20-plus years, all playing in the same college basketball season, all at the highest of levels. This NCAA men's tournament is going to be a good one. Let's get to the NBA with JY up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From college basketball to action around the association, our coach, JY, James Young, is here for a second consecutive segment on the early line. Big Tuesday night slate in the NBA, but JY, let's start with the storylines we are seeing develop in the stretch run of this regular season. Every team has played at least 59 games. A lot of them have played 60, 61, maybe even 62. We're talking just about 20-plus games remaining in the regular season around the association. So it's time to firm up the playoff positioning and the pictures of these teams. Who are the real contenders and who really won't make a lot of noise come postseason time in the NBA? A team right now, JY, that of course is always in the headlines and is always notable, but certainly has been in the last month since the acquisition and the blockbuster deal to get Luka Doncic. That's the LA Lakers. The Lakers now have won 6 consecutive games, and they have covered in 5 of those 6 as well. They lost their first game, a tough loss to the Charlotte Hornets in returning from the All-Star break. They have won their 6 next games. JY, when you look at this Lakers team, does what they are showing us right now, following the All-Star break, feel like the real deal and a legitimate contender to win a Western Conference crown?
Yes, because Luka's adjusting it and he's starting to fit in. Obviously, last game without Austin Reeves, but when you have guys, when you have two players like LeBron and Luka, they put so much pressure on you defensively, right? And their ability to create and create for others. So that's why you've seen to me, you know, Rui Hachimura, play better. Austin Reaves, play better, because now you have two guys that can create and pass it out to you and score. Lucas shooting the ball better from three, Ben, helps as well. You know, Reaves is out. Here comes Dalton Knecht, gives you a big game Sunday. But there's also a sneaky person that's come back that's slowly starting to find his way, particularly defensively, and that's Jared Vanderbilt. This guy is a stopper defensively. He's a junkyard dog, and he's that hard hat, lunch pail guy that every team needs, particularly down the stretch. Really good job out of him last game, 8 and 9. But to me, Ben, it's going to be about matchups. I'm still concerned in a 7-game series with a team like the Nuggets because of Nikola Jokic. I throw out the game on Saturday night a couple of weeks ago. He only took 7 shots. They're going to move him to the high post where he's got sight lines and places to move. Mike Malone is going to adjust better if they get into a 7-game series.
If we take a look at that Western Conference, Coach, here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, top 3 odds, -135 on the Thunder, the Nuggets 5-1, the Lakers 6-1. Outside of those, let's just say 12-1 or higher. Any teams that could make some noise for you in the Western Conference playoffs?
One is going to be if Houston can. Now they kind of punted last night, right? During the second leg of a back-to-back, they realized they have Indiana tonight. They probably weren't winning last night. Let's rest some guys, go try and get the game that we know we have a better chance of getting. I know I shouldn't say it, but that's probably what they did. They're interesting at 40-1 because their ability to defend and the number of guys that can score. But the T-Wolves at 50-1, if they could just get their damn act together, what team are they? Are they a team we've seen at parts of the year? Or are they the team that went into Phoenix and won by 20? What team is it? Now, it's going to be Ant. A lot of this, guys, and this is we see this in New York, it's going to be what we get out of Julius Randle. He's got to be good. He's got to be that next guy. He's got to be consistently. And he's got to bring the defensive effort. If you're talking value plays, the T-Wolves, who have shown they can make a run at 50-1, are very, very enticing.
Minnesota currently in the 9 spot would be a play-in tournament team, but of course they got to the Western Conference Finals a season ago. You saw those Western Conference odds. OKC, minus money favorite at -135. And the Thunder, after a 51-point performance in win number 50 last night, that 51-point performance from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, OKC has an 11-game lead for the 1 seed in the Western Conference. They are going to be that team. But, JY, what makes it very interesting is when you compare the Western Conference odds out east, because the team at 50 wins and the team with the best record, the Cleveland Cavaliers, not the favorite, not in minus money. How do you look at the Cavaliers down this home stretch? And do you believe, now under Kenny Atkinson, the regular season success will translate into the playoffs?
You would think so, because the way that they now play, they don't just say, and I know he had a big performance last game. It's not Donovan's got to get us 30. Donovan's got to get us 40 for us to win. They are getting contributions, Ben, up and down this roster. And it's impressive, some of the guys. Like Ty Jerome, what he's giving you. I thought the trade for DeAndre Hunter was a stroke of pure brilliance, because I think he's that 3-and-D guy that allows them to kind of play different styles. Kenny's done a great job. We all know. What were their deficiencies? It came playoff time. The more guys that you can depend on that could score for you gives you a better chance, because you just can't load up. If they were in Boston, if they were in New York, if they were in any major market in the country, I think we'd be seeing better odds. There still is a little bit of disrespect towards Cleveland.
We take a look, keep it in that Eastern Conference, too, to win an NBA championship and come out of the East. The Milwaukee Bucks coach sitting at a 50-1 price. Are they disrespected a little bit? Because they do have a championship pedigree and getting Bobby Portis back in the playoffs. Any chance for a run from the Bucks at that big price?
Is Doc Rivers still the coach, or did they get someone else?
He is.
I can't trust Doc. I just can't, you know, and listen, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time, but adjustments are not his thing. You know, maybe they get out of the first round, but then they're looking at the 4-5 matchup and getting, I don't think they're going to beat Cleveland. I don't trust him in that spot. It'll be interesting to see. The one team that we need to quickly give props to is, we talked about J.B. Bickerstaff. What a job he's doing in Detroit. I mean, people talk about what Kenny Atkinson has done. This guy has probably done the second best job along with Ime Udoka this year, taking a team that was left for dead. They went and got Monty Williams, the great Monty Williams, and he flamed out. Shout out to Detroit basketball. Guys, they're back.
Yeah, they certainly are. Huge road win last night in Salt Lake, covering as an 11-point favorite. They have won 10 of their last 11, the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference standings at this current juncture. Let's get you set for a 9-game slate in the NBA on this Tuesday with JY up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So right before the break, we talked about the top of the top, the best of the best in each conference, around the Western Conference and out east. Teams that are excelling or surpassing even high expectations this season. JY, there is also the inverse of that conversation. The teams that have been disastrous, the teams that have been a failure, the teams that have fallen well short of those expectations. The 76ers out east and in the Western Conference, a part of tonight's 9-game NBA slate, the Phoenix Suns, currently 3.5 games out of even a play-in tournament spot. 5 games sub 500 for Phoenix. It may be most damning, JY. Every time Phoenix needs to win a game, they have failed to do just that. What is your prognosis for Phoenix the remainder of this NBA season?
It ain't good. That's for sure. The best they can hope for is a team like Dallas, who just had Kyrie go out last night, or a team like Sacramento with Sabonis getting injuries. They got to hope that one of these teams start to slide, right? Sacramento is 5 games ahead of them in the loss column. Dallas, 3 ahead of them. So Phoenix has to turn it quick. The reason why you can't believe in it, Ben, they have the hardest schedule left, according to Tankathon, with an average strength schedule of 587. That is only the next one is Sacramento. So unless they get going quickly, and listen, at the end of the day, what are you going to do if you're Matt Ishbia? I mean, Monty Williams, Frank Vogel, Mike Budenholzer. Are you going to fire a fourth coach, have 4 coaches in 4 years? At some point, players are going to just say, I can't go to this franchise because they're unstable. They have no draft picks. They have to literally, I'm sorry, Ben, they have to blow it up. They have to blow it up. Their defense is atrocious. Yusuf Nurkic is knocking the coach that he has no relationship. It's bad in Phoenix. And the only way to fix it is trade. The question is who is it going to be? Is it Durant or is it Booker, where you can get a lot more on the market?
The crazy part about this, too, is Beal, Booker, and Durant are all healthy, and they're at a 500-to-1 price to win the NBA championship. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the season? It's been a disaster. But, Coach, the games, as we do say, still go on tonight. Clippers take on the Phoenix Suns. This line opened up overnight at the FanDuel Sportsbook as a -1 for the Clippers. Now we're seeing 2s at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Another outlet showing now 2.5 and a total of 225. The Phoenix Suns, to me, are just cooked at this point. Well, at least the Clippers are playing for something. Does that factor into your advantages tonight, or do the Suns show up for once?
Well, they were supposed to show up on Sunday, and they got 20 pieced at home by Minnesota. So at this point, I can't trust Phoenix 2-8 straight up the last 10 games. I'm going to just take the Clippers on the money line tonight. Ty Lue's done a tremendous job. They're more healthy. They're more engaged. Now, listen, I still think they're going to probably end up in the play-in tournament as well, because it's so jumbled in the Western Conference. Right now, they're the 17, but you have, you know, 2 games that separate, I think, 6th from 10th. But I do like the Clippers on the money line tonight because I just can't trust Phoenix. They can't get out of their own way.
And more bad news for our guy, DRS, Norm Powell, who exited Sunday night's game against the Lakers with a hamstring injury. As Dr. Donnie knows, that's never a good sign. The Clippers have lost 5 of 6 since returning from the All-Star break, have not covered in any of those 6 games. And as JY alluded to, the Clips now a half game behind the Golden State Warriors for the 6th spot in the Western Conference. Golden State, with Jimmy Butler in the lineup, has won 8 of 9 games, covering in all 8. The Dubs continue a long road trip. Second leg of a back-to-back is a 4.5-point road underdog tonight inside the Garden against the New York Knicks. 228.5 is the total. JY, what's your breakdown tonight inside the world's most famous arena?
Two games in Mitchell Robinson has proven that he is an integral part of this team defensively. The way he plays coverage. To me, if I'm looking at anything, I'm looking at the under. You have a Golden State Warriors team on a second leg of a back-to-back. A Knicks team is playing a little bit better defensively, finally whole as a team. The only thing is how much of a performance is Steph Curry going to put on tonight? Because at times, Mikal Bridges has struggled defensively. So you could see a big performance out of Steph tonight in Gotham. But the best bet I would give you is take the under. I think there's going to be defense play in this match, particularly second leg of back-to-back, and the Knicks playing a little bit better defensively as of late.
Those totals are dropping for the New York Knicks. Often in the 240s, now 228.5. Maybe that is the Mitchell Robinson effect for the New York Knicks. JY, as always, we appreciate the time. Whether college, NBA, big picture, or our nine-game slate tonight, you always deliver, my friend, a fadeaway to the break. In hour number three. On the other side of the break, here on the early line. Ooh, a couple of pump fakes in there as well. Fake. NFL news and conference tournament breakdowns. That's next.